Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Discovering Journeys, the podcast where individuals from all walks of life come together to share their experiences. I am your host, Sujala, and in each episode, I bring you unique perspectives from those who have embraced change and growth. Whether you're seeking inspiration, fresh insights, or simply curious about different life paths, this podcast will connect you with journeys that resonate and inspire. Please note, the content shared on this platform is solely for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes. The opinions shared by the guests are their own personal views, as it is based on their personal journeys and should not be construed as professional advice. Thank you. Today's guest is Iris Wang, an expat originally from China whose life journey has taken her across Germany, US, and now France. Starting her career in Shanghai as a marketing specialist, Iris transitioned to entrepreneurship upon moving to France. She created a brand called Easy Wellness, a health coaching, yoga, and mindful practices deeply inspired by her personal experiences. In this episode, Iris shares her journey adapting to new cultures, balancing roles as a professional, mother, and wellness coach, and emphasizes the importance of building a support system in a foreign land. Let's listen to how she casually stumbled upon a yoga class and discover what are the challenges of expat life. Hello, Iris. Welcome to my podcast, and thank you for being my guest today.
Hello, Sujala. Very, very happy to be here with you today.
You have moved countries, multiple countries to say, from China to Germany to US, then now in France. So how, you know, moving countries shaped up your experiences in life and as an expat for you?
Yeah, it's a life-changing event, you know. I was saying this because it sounds obvious that you moved out from your home country and you go to another country, there must be a lot to expect. But still, the reality hit you. I mean, the impact was larger than you could ever imagine. Yeah, so many aspects I would answer this question. So first, personally, for my job, changed dramatically. And another personal aspect is family, right? Because I moved because of the family relocation. It's a huge thing as an individual to adjust your position in the society and also your position in the family. My role as a person changed too, you know, because starting from a single person and to a wife and to a mom later on. So it's huge, yeah.
Professionally, could you tell that what were you doing in these many countries? Because sometimes when you move, your visa becomes an issue. Sometimes you don't find the correct or what you're looking for to work, and your experiences are different in one country, and that may not be very suitable in the place you would be moving to. So how did it move?
Yeah, very, very much so. In my case, the visa part is the easy part because I go as family relocation. So it's because of my partner, my husband's job, that we're moving from country to country. So this is also a part of the, let's say, job agreement and the package that they will take care of the family members. So visa is less of a problem. But for some expats, it could be also challenging for them to work on such a visa because they might be family reunion or family visa. So this is the tricky part. But luckily for me, when I start to work, because, you know, I love the history about my personal journey, because when I first moved to Germany and America, half of those time I'm having a baby and pregnant, and then after having a baby in a young age, I'm just, you know, stayed. I didn't really go out to work. And when I start working as an expat, I'm actually, at that period of time, I went back to China for 2 years. So that gave me a little bit of time to figure out, because I know the surroundings. I just need to fit myself back to this familiar surroundings I know. So that helped me a lot to do the, for example, a professional training and find the right qualification to build up later on for my brand and my business. So this is the China part. And the left China that I came back to Toulouse. And luckily that my visa in Toulouse allows me to work as a freelancer to start with. So I didn't really have this problem. Yeah, for many expats, this is something to consider.
For how long have you been living in Toulouse, France?
Oh, now it's been... good question. I think now I'm hitting my 6 years. So 6 years.
Where was she born? Yeah.
So she was actually born in when we were in America.
Apart from your husband, did you have good support in the US?
Well, in America, actually, because this is something significant, that is the language.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's also funny to say, again, it's an obvious factor that you consider that you speak English, you will be fine in America. Yes, it was a lot easier. When I moved back to France, it's a totally different story. So in America, I feel like, I know that I'm a foreigner, but I don't have much issue getting around and find things, you know, figure things out on my own. But it's a different story in France.
Yeah, yes. You have been in France for 6 years now. I want you to go back to the initial couple of years, okay? And then think about what were the first few things which you understood or realized that were very different from the other places. Language for sure, but apart from that, what is it that struck you the most in the first couple of years?
That's a really good question. Basically, that got me thinking. First of all, it's the first strike me, or let's say overwhelming, is the move. You know, it's the settle in and really move in and sort out everything, the administration. It just overwhelming is the only word I can describe it. Yeah. So when you finally sort out your mind, and when it's settled down a little bit, less of the administration, and you know your way around, it's already been 6 months. I think it took me 6 months to do all those kind of, for example, schooling, housing, figure out the tax, figure out the medical system, transportation, all the basic things in daily life.
How old was your daughter when you moved in to France?
She was 3 years old.
How was it for her?
Another thing that I'm a little bit underestimated for children, because what we heard the most is the expat families or parents, they are thinking, they're saying children, they're like a sponge, pick it up like no effort. Not for everyone, and definitely not on a, you know, not on the first stage of their move. They struggle just like we do, in a different way, and takes time for them too, just like for us. Yeah. So for my daughter, at that age, she was only 3.5. I don't think she knew much about how to navigate and how to express. Yeah, she knew that she's in a new environment, and she came back home. I remember she's still saying that, it's great, you know, school's happy. I made new friends, but time goes and she starts to realize that, okay, people don't really understand me apart from my expression and my body language. And this is, I would say, frustrating for her for a while, until, of course, she picked up the language much quicker than I did. So, yeah.
That's one of the perks side, I would say, that kids really pick up the language faster than adults do.
Of course, and also their emotionally, cognitively, they are more adaptable than us.
Yeah. Moving country itself is challenging. There is no doubt in that. And moving to a non-English speaking country is whole another layer of challenging, hard part and everything. So how did you navigate the cultural and the language differences?
I'm still trying.
The most honest answer.
This is the first thing I would say. Still trying. Every day I'm trying to think about, okay, how can I build something around me as a overall support system? Because I didn't realize it at the start that when we move here, we have our family and we have our kids, we have husbands, wife, and you probably have a handful of friends already, co-workers who's moving with you. So you think that would be quite enough to navigate a daily life. But as you go further, you would understand that's more factors and more environmental support, I would say, comes into play, which is also very crucial to your daily life, which is also what you actually left behind in your own country. Yeah, for example, the extensive family support, parents, cousins, sisters, brothers, whatever you left them in your own country, and your friends, and by the social level is the whole, for example, medical system, social support, all these kind of things. When you really need information, even need their the support, and they're just not there, or they can be 10 times harder than in your own country. And this is this makes me realize actually the extensive support that the circumstantial environment is very important. And by the only way to improve this for expats is to build community around on your own. There's nothing else we can do. It's never the same. It would be never the same as on your own in your own country. But we have to try our best. Yeah, support each other.
Are there any funny moments or experiences you would like to share, especially when you're learning a new language?
Well, my answer is short as well. I mean, every moment when I start to speak French is a funny moment. At least it's to me still, okay. Because I think you have this early experience about being just not very confident about what you are saying. What I mean? Because it didn't happen to me a lot. Well, I speak Chinese Mandarin as my mother tongue, but I start to learn and speak English and use English in my work very early. So English becomes really comfortable for me to speak. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't think that could be a problem that you pick up a second language. Yeah, I can learn, I can practice. But when you're really, you've been put into this environment that people all speak in a different language, and you try to learn and you try to practice, and still maybe with that bit of different expression and accent, you don't make yourself understood. So this is what I mean. Can be challenging for the ego and challenging for the confidence. As I said, you can make a lot of misunderstanding, but people around me, at least, I think they took it lightly, and they try to help. For example, if you try to speak French and they know that you are a foreigner, that you are trying, and they always, in my case, at least 80% of the time, they will try to meet you in the middle. This is helping. Yeah, this is helping when they can. So over time, that you will feel more comfortable and you will feel more, in a way, supported.
Even in my experience, they really appreciate you speaking. They're trying to learn and speak their language. Yeah. I would say around 70 to 75% in my case, there it has been a positive encounters with whether I have to go to a bakery or get things done. It's been good overall for me too.
Yeah, they're trying to help, you know that, because I know it might be a not easy scenario for them too. They're just trying to do their job, and this person, you know, don't know what she's talking about.
I mean, sounds like their language, but exactly they cannot make out what we are saying.
Yes.
I still remember that it was like 6 months after I moved to France. First time I had to post something back to India, and I went and I figured out on my own, spoke in French, and then did it. I come back, I call my dad, I say, yay, I did the post to this one. And my dad is like, huh? What? Because it was just 6 months, and even he couldn't wrap his head around that, how difficult it is. He's like, okay. He was like very confused and perplexed, because he's like, yeah, I mean, used to go to post office and do your work before as well. And I said, no, it's the language part. I spoke in French. And he's like,
oh yeah,
okay, that one. Because he found it initially very silly. What was I trying to say? So yeah, not everybody understands the happiness you feel when you accomplish something in a foreign language.
Exactly. This reminded me of a lot, you know, when I was thinking a lot. That not, well, let's say only expats understand expats.
Yeah, expat who have moved to non-English speaking country. You know, I would like to really specify that.
As well, I mean, that's why sometimes when I even going back to my own country, you don't. Of course, people will understand, people knowing what you are talking, but I don't think they can really relate. You know why. For example, why your French is not already perfect when you are living here for 6 years, for example, you know? They just think it just happens naturally, like what's in the movies.
Yeah.
All the special agents can speak 5-6 languages. It's just easy.
Some people are very linguistically gifted. They can remember, but when you have to remember so many things, the rules in French language, at one point it explodes and you confuse with each other.
Yeah, I do believe that our brain capacity, you know, what we can handle, it's only just maybe it's just this much. I mean, if you have to pick up another foreign language, you somehow, somewhere, you have to sacrifice another part of your, you know, to make some space for it.
Yeah, and being a family person, it's not lot of time you have, and sometimes it's mentally exhausting as well to
it's very tiring. Yeah, that's explained why I always eat chocolate after speaking French. Did that happen to you too?
I know, I'm gonna take that tip, I'm gonna try it for myself.
that helps. Yeah.
What aspect of expat life is easy and challenging that nobody understands, especially who have not moved a country?
If I can redo it, let me just say, if I knew what I already know, but that's never happened. I would say to better prepare, and you know, to really ask people who had the same experience already, who had the expectation already, to ask them about the challenging part as a person, that you need the all-round support. And then maybe when you move a country, 80% of it's gone, seriously. Yeah, 80%. Before you realize that, it will be shocking. So prepare yourself for that. And also, we always want our expat journey to be successful, but it's also very important to have a plan B. And you know, even just mentally prepared for, okay, what if this doesn't work for me, and is it still possible for me to get back to my own country or another country, or what is the plan and how does it look like for me? So I think this is very crucial, that you have another plan you can rely on. And this would, you know, because I think the worst is that you feel that you are stuck somewhere, you option. So thinking about as much, as many options as you have as an individual or as a family, how can you support each other? How can you support yourself? This is something I think is the most important for every aspect, regardless of the situation of a family or individual.
Yeah, plan B, yeah. That is something even I think we did not think about it much when we moved.
No, especially when you move with your family.
Yeah.
You could overlook that part. Oh yeah,
easy. Because you're so in administrative moving part, getting settled part that you totally forget about, you know, after what comes after that.
Yeah, it's totally understandable.
Take me through your yoga journey now. And what was it like for the first time you attended a yoga class, and you know what attracted you so much into yoga, and did you know at one point that you'll be making it as your part of your career?
This is the best topic, you know, my favorite topic to talk about, my yoga journey, and that actually started way earlier. So when I was in China, in Shanghai. I think I stepped into my first yoga class quite unaware of what I'm doing. It's just a gym class. So you join the gym in a big city and then you go try the classes. And one day I went with my cousin and she said, you got to try yoga, you're gonna love it. And but to make the audience more understand my situation, that I've never been a very physically active person. Yeah, I don't like any kind of sports. I think yoga is also feel like slow, you know, and can be looks boring looking, I have to say. At that age of mine, I was like 20 some. But I tried anyway because you have the company. And I remember that by talking about my first experience, very important is that I had a good teacher. Teacher, he's actually from India. And he's actually from a yoga family. So what's really impressive for me is that I start to realize, oh, this is yoga and this is not how it looked like, you know, just movement and the tricky poses. And so this is something much, much deeper behind it. And you do feel good. You just feel like uplifting. So this is my first yoga experience. Caught me unexpectedly. But right after that, I went back to my class every week. And soon after, I'm quite lucky in my yoga journey too, because at that time, my Indian teacher, actually a couple of the Indian teachers in the gym, and they, you know, they apparently they don't speak Chinese. Chinese is way harder to learn. So sometimes they say, well, can you just translate a little bit what I'm saying about the breathing and what I'm saying about the poses and how long you're supposed to stay in the position. And I start to build this kind of connection with me, and possibly I can assist into the teaching because I know a little bit more. And after that, I was thinking about, oh, this is interesting. So I get in touch with more teachers, and I kind of say to them, then, you know, can you tell me more books to read about yoga, because I want to know it more systematically. And they've been always very kind and generous about sharing their knowledge. And this really get me deeper into the journey.
What made you to take this as your career?
This is also have to combine with my personal experience as an expat, because I moved to the country. As you can imagine, it's a family relocation that I feel like I'm more in a, because it's not my job brought me abroad. Yeah. So, and after becoming a mom, you just, you are supporting the family. The family is was your priority, at least at that time, 90% of the time that you were supporting your family. So I would be thinking that at that time, it wasn't very practical for me to find a full-time job, especially that we might be moving again after 1 year or something. So why not just, you know, dive deeper into my yoga journey? So our first thing I do is start learning, learning, learning. And with all the time I have, with all the materials I can grab, all the yoga teachers I can talk to and learn from, either in America, Germany, or China, then I start to, you know, get my head around and start to get all the information and a lot of thinking that what kind of teacher you want to be, what kind of path you want to go. That actually is the most time-consuming part, that you are trying to figure your things out. Yeah. And this is the turning point of my personal life that make me think that I can pursue a little bit and try, you know, see how it goes. This is a big shift from a professional to a yoga teacher.
From where did you find the courage to take the plunge of setting up the business here? Because it's very challenging to create any sort of business in a foreign country.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I didn't think much.
Best part. If
I did, it probably stopped me. Honestly, because later on, you could learn more about the administrations and the systems and all. By looking back, I was like, whoa, this can be complicated. You know, if I knew that at the beginning, I probably just, you know, it would stop me. I would take a pause and I was thinking about it. And it's hard to say because for me, sometimes when I get into thinking, it could take really a long time. So it's a good thing in a way that you didn't think much. You just say, okay, well, this exists. You know, they call it auto-entrepreneur. The freelancer in France, it exists and it looks like doable. They just apply online and let's try it. So, to be honest with you, still, I think this system of applying to be an auto-entrepreneur in France is quite simple.
Okay, that's good.
Comparing to the other things to do here, it's quite simple. And you can apply online, you can prove that you can do your practice. Of course, you need certification and voila. And then you claim your income, you claim your tax, and you are all set.
That sounds encouraging.
Exactly. That's actually quite could be a good option for many expats to start with.
What are the challenges you faced either while setting up the business or after you set up the business to build your brand?
Yeah, setting up the business is the easiest part. Afterwards, it's challenging. Mm-hmm. Like everything, I guess, you got to promote yourself. You got to make yourself known for the market, what you are doing. And you actually knowing what you're doing, you can find your clients and you can keep them, right? And along the way, also challenging for you to find out what the others are doing, because it's always you have to put yourself into the content of this place, because the yoga business I have experienced in China and in America, even in Germany, is totally different than the circumstance here. It's not the same thing. And given the city you are in, yeah, how many people are actually doing it, what are their speciality, what are yours, this is one thing. Yeah, try to fit in and find your place. And another the second thing challenging is to, as a freelancer, you got to do everything on your own. Yeah, this is difficult for everyone all the time, because we all have our strength and something that we're reluctant to do, or we're simply not very good at doing. For example, I used to work in marketing quite a lot in China. That helped me a lot to promote. But I imagine if someone just want to teach yoga, you know, this would be very draining for them to do the promotion part. And for me, maybe what I don't like doing much, especially before, is the accounting, you know, finance with numbers and with. But you have to do this on your own. You have to budget. Yeah, you have to, yeah, know the pricing, and you have to be good, not good, but at least you have to be okay with almost every aspect about a business.
Yeah, a lot of learning.
Learning, also rewarding, because you are learning a lot of things you imagine that you could never do.
Okay, you moved countries, you had a baby, you're raising a family, you you know, building your brand for yourself. In between all of these things, how did you navigate the feelings of homesickness or moments of isolation?
Yeah, this does catch me sometimes, especially after the first phase of the moving, because the first phase is always, first it's overwhelming. You can't focus on that, and you are excited, new things, you know, new environment. But after you settled, yeah, it's a huge about isolation. I would say that I'm still at the later stage of recognizing that and accepting that, because at the beginning, to be honest with you, I wasn't completely aware about how difficult it has on you emotionally level, and that you are feeling. I remember that I kind of asked myself, "What are you actually feeling lonely? Are you actually feeling isolated?" Because I didn't think about that before. You know, I simply didn't think about that because I was too excited about the move, and this is the life I kind of looking forward to. I didn't see it coming. I talked to many expat friends. It's not easy for us to accept that we are actually having this, you know what I mean? The side effect of the expat life. We tend to look at the bright side. Recently, I realized that we need to face the challenge we have. And this is how we start to support each other and understand each other. Like your question has made me thinking that we can't really make long-lasting relationship, friendship, because people keep moving. They move or you move. And after a couple of times, you will be thinking, automatically you won't make such a connection.
Yeah, it's very frustrating when you have finally found that connection and you have to let go. And it's sad and frustrating at the same time.
Yes. And my point is that we have to change this. You know, we have to change, because I'm all about community and people connection and supporting each other.
What is the biggest thing or a lesson you learned about yourself through all these years?
Interesting question. It's the moment that I feel like I got the answer. I just trying to put the words together.
What have you enjoyed as an expat so far?
Wow, it's a really amazing life. Yeah. Life experience, to be in so many different countries and see so many different cultures, and make you in return question yourself about your values and your beings. The most interesting for me now at the moment is that it makes me more confident about myself, as I'm, as to say that I can change and I can be adaptable, and the resilience that you build within yourself as a person, I think it's something that, whatever you do, you fail or you success in your career or in your family life as an expat life, this is something you really earned and nobody can take away.
So, what exactly you teach in Toulouse or online?
Oh yeah, so now I'm still building that by learning more aspect about health and the wellness. I would say more at the moment I'm more targeting to yoga and the wellness coaching. So I aim to help people not only for example getting fit or solve a particular problem that they have. It's about the deep health.
Do you conduct online classes?
Yes, I do. I am coaching on some platforms and offer online coaching only. Yes, Instagram. If I'm I can share that with you later. Instagram and my email address.
We are towards the end of this episode, and I would like to ask you the three questions as a takeaway. What are the three things you love about French life?
The food, the weather, and you know, the good balance about let's say work and the life. I think they have a very good balance in to respect the nature, the environment.
What are the first steps someone can take if they are moving between the countries to adapt smoothly?
I would always say look for professional advice if you can, like relocation companies and those kind of consultants. The good ones can be really helpful for you to prepare mentally and in a material level that you know what you need to do to move in the country. And preparation is everything. Even when you mentioned that the visa and everything, figure out what kind of challenge you might be having, what you need to have, and take your time, because all these things takes time. So before you move, really, I mean, we can be overexcited to dive into this kind of new life very quickly, but take a pause and take your time.
How do you recommend dealing with cultural shocks or, you know, homesickness in a positive way?
Okay, first to carry on, because your routine might be changed a lot. Everything changed around you. But to carry on, what is the most important routines you have? For example, eat healthy. You know, try to keep it, because it's easy to be thrown out of the way of that because everything's changed. And for another example, that keep your exercise routine, do what you can, and make us feel, you know, we can feel that things are out of control for a while. And this makes us feel that we still have some sort of control. And as long as you eat healthy, you stay healthy, you do exercise, you keep open and making new friends, for example, and things will set into places.
Thank you, Iris. It's been fun and pleasure talking to you about your yoga journey and expat life.
It's a real pleasure sharing this with you and the audience today, Shara. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Discovering Journeys. I would love for this podcast to reach as many people as possible. So please remember to subscribe, rate, and leave a positive review. Share this podcast with someone you think who would appreciate this conversation. Check out the show notes for all the links and details. Until next time, keep embracing your journey and discovering new paths.